We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you this day. God, thank you so much for loving us. We stand before you now as a group of people whom you have brought here for one purpose, to glorify you. God, I pray that in these moments you might speak to us in a new and fresh way. Reveal your will to us. Help us to follow you. Help us to see your world at work, what you are doing, and to respond to that work. God, I thank you for this church, for Edgewater Covenant Church, for the impact that you have instilled in us, for that group of people, that body that you are building in us, united, reaching out, making a difference in our world for your sake. And yet, Lord, we also know that in the midst of all of the cares and concerns that are on our hearts, we don't always follow you as closely as we would like. Will you convict us of those moments, those thoughts, those actions? Redirect the course of our path. Clear our eyes. Give us fresh eyes to see what you would have for us. We thank you for your protection, for your power, for your presence. God, we pray now for the leading of your Spirit. Your Spirit is here and moving among us. And I pray that you would touch each heart. Help us to follow you. God, we pray for our brothers and sisters right now in Puerto Rico who are suffering, who need tangible needs, God. Will you provide the way? Work within systems, work out of systems, work in your way, oh God. Help those who need help. And God, there are so many needs we know. We read about them. We experience them. We see them on the television. God, only by your power will the world change. Will you help us to do our part as well? Help us to follow you with our whole heart, to respond to the convictions that you put within us. God, for we are your people. We are the sheep of your fold, and you are our shepherd. We give you thanks this day. We ask all of this and all of the prayers that are on our hearts. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One of the themes that I wanted us to look at in these opening weeks together is the theme of journeying and all of the pathways that God has in store for us. And we know that life is full of paths. And on Friday, Rebecca and I had the chance to go up to Mount Diablo, the top. We figured we wanted to do that pretty early after moving here. You get those beautiful views, 360 views from the top. If you haven't had the chance to go up, maybe I'll drive you up sometime in our car. It was the first mountain summit that our car has ever done, and it was quite an experience being able to look down and see where we live, and see one pillar of the Golden Gate Bridge, and see all the little paths that people were walking on, those diehards that were hiking and biking and doing all of those strenuous efforts on a Friday. Life is full of paths. And we want to know what is just ahead, what is just around the corner. And yet you know through your life that we barely know what's going to happen this afternoon, let alone what God has in store for us tomorrow, 3 months from now, 6 months from now. If you could picture where you are right now and think back, let's just say 5 years, would you have pictured that you would be right here in this moment in your life? When I go on a path, those times where I'm feeling particularly motivated, maybe to do some hiking or biking, I want to know how steep it is. I want to know, are there any scary turns? How many snakes there is, I swerved to avoid one snake driving down that road. I wanted to know what Kirker Pass Road was like going up and coming down, and what gear I had to be in. Where do I stop for a bathroom? All those things. And if you're a hiker or biker, you like trail maps. If you are a trucker, you use the Motor Carrier Atlas to figure out where the low bridge clearances are. And for the rest of us, we use Google Maps to help us with everything. But like many pathways, whether it's the path of your marriage, your family, whether you're a parent, the path of school that you're in, the job path that you're on, or the family dynamics that sometimes bring you joy, sometimes bring you sorrow. We rarely know how this journey is going to work out. In fact, we usually only have a small picture of what's going to happen. And it's scary to think about the future. To take a step not knowing where it's going to lead. Imagine closing your eyes. You take one step forward. Okay, you got that one. But I'm a little bit scared to take this next step because I'm not sure if I'm going to hit the communion table. It's scary when we don't even know what the next step is going to be. And maybe you've had to follow a path at some point in your life, a path that you've never taken before. Maybe you're brand new to saying yes to Christ and you don't even have any idea what that means. That's okay. For Abraham, and his family, this is that point in their journey. You see, Abram's family is descended from one of the sons of Noah, Shem. Shem was the son that was blessed by the Lord. And yet we are many generations removed from that. We don't know that much about Abram's family other than they're in this kind of genealogy descended from Noah's son. And they had this family, and they had this homeland, and they lived not in a cool place named Pittsburgh, but they lived in a place called Ur. It's not the most attractive name when you think about it. For those of you that have a Bible, sometimes they have a little map in the back of your Bible. But you don't really need to look at a map to understand where they are. They're in Iraq, ancient Iraq. They are close, or they're on one of the great rivers. Ur was a port town. Maybe not like Pittsburgh, but it was a port town in Babylonia. It was on the mouth of the Euphrates River. It was the leading political and commercial center of the area. And it was a center of worship for the moon god that they thought controlled everything. For some unknown reason, this family has to migrate. And we're going to look at a section in Genesis 12 today, first book of the Bible. This is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. We're only going to look at a couple of verses in it. Let me read verse 31 in chapter 11, actually, for us. It says this: Terah took his son Abram. Terah is the father. His grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. That's all we're given. They are in their homeland. For some unknown reason, they have to migrate, like millions of people on our planet right now, for a variety of reasons. We don't exactly know why. And it says they were on their way to the land of Canaan. We know a lot about Canaan because it says all about it in the Bible, and yet it says they don't go there. They stop in Haran. Why would they stop in Haran? We don't know exactly why. But there is one potential thing. We know what their family knows. Who here has lived in Pittsburgh their whole life? You got any lifers? Okay, we've got a couple. Who's lived in the East Bay most or all of your life? Okay, a lot of you. Would you say that you know East Bay? That you know how it operates? You know what's considered normal whatever that is. Yeah. Everyone who has their homeland, you kind of know how things work. What Abram's family knew was Ur. And they knew what god was worshipped in Ur, the moon god. Guess which other city had a temple of worship for the moon god? Haran. So it makes sense that they would move or stop in this town. It says they actually settled there. Where they stopped is not so unusual. Haran was on the east-west highway, or actually it was like this giant, who's heard of the phrase, the Fertile Crescent? Basically where everybody plants stuff. And in the middle of the Fertile Crescent, if you think of like a big giant rainbow, is this growing area. And in the other part is desert. And we know you can't grow a whole lot in the desert. And this was their east-west highway to get to Canaan. They had similarities in this place. Their family, their experience, this is all they knew. And it is in this place, in this context, that God speaks. One thing is certain, that when the one true God of all speaks, he expects a response. After all, he is God. And when he speaks, things happen. Expectations are stated. Plans are made. Purposes are clarified. On your blank, if you look at number one, this is how I would say this. He always looks for a response. When God speaks, he always looks for a response. Those of you that have children, when you speak to them, do you expect a response? Do you know what response you will get? You know what you should get, but what do you get? You get a variety of responses depending on the child, the mood, whatever they ate for breakfast, or maybe it's about what they're supposed to eat for breakfast. And we too can respond in a variety of ways. We can listen and then run away. Some children do that. Some adults do that. We can pretend to listen and just keep on going where the way that we are going. We can stop and respond, yes, Dad. Yes, Mom. Or if I really wanted to impress, yes, Mother. Or something like that. These are the same kinds of responses that we can make when God speaks. All the Lord needs as he leads you is a response of faith. A response of faith. Everything else is secondary and comes in due time. That is not satisfying for us. For those of you that are detail people, planning people, who like to have everything organized, everything has a place, a response of faith is not very satisfying. Faith is one of those loaded words. You've heard it a lot. You've perhaps tried to explore what does that mean. Faith isn't something like we do on a checklist. I did faith, now I'm done. It's a gift from God himself. We don't always understand faith. We hear things like, I took a leap of faith. Blind faith. Or my least favorite one, just have faith. Anyone else not particularly like that phrase? It's usually offered when you are at a low point from someone who apparently has never experienced any kind of suffering in their life before. And if they did, they somehow did it with a smile on their face. And it is the least helpful thing you can hear in that moment. Just have faith. We want to know directions. We want to know understanding. We want to get a sense of explanation from God, and yet a response of faith doesn't always offer us that. God says, trust me. I got this. In fact, I'm in control, even though you're trying to be in control. Faith is absolute trust. It's confidence in God's purposes. It's faithfulness to His voice. And it's also a relationship with Jesus that should transform us more and more to be like Him. It's impossible to be like Jesus. And yet that is our job, to become more and more like Him. I don't know about you, but I'm still on this journey. I don't think there's anyone that has, at least here, because everyone's still alive, who has completed their journey, the race, the path that God has you on. A response of faith isn't like a test. You don't get extra points for saying, well, what's the right answer? And you don't fail just because you give the wrong answer. You simply respond to the voice of God. There was a time in my life where I wasn't sure if I fully trusted God. And through a series of events, God got a hold of my heart. I felt the power of the Holy Spirit at work in my life for the first time in quite a while. Something I just couldn't explain. But I made that choice to say, okay, God, I trust you. I don't really understand everything, but I'll listen and follow your lead as best I can. And I think that's the same thing that He wants from each of us. Some days it's easy to follow the leading of God. Other days, it's a drag. Let's be honest. And if we fail or we fall, what do? We reach out our hand and God grabs it, lifts us back up, and says, I forgive you. Let's begin again. That's the amazing thing about this relationship of faith that we're in. So in this week to come, the question I would ask, what step of faith is God prompting you to make or take today? And you can think about that. Those are not easy questions. I would encourage you, if you feel a specific one, feel free to write that down on your connection card. I'd love to hear how God might be moving in your life today. Perhaps you have an idea of where you need to be moving. Here's the kicker, though. It might come at a cost. It might cost you all that you know. It might cost you people that you know who aren't going to understand how God could be speaking to you in that way, or that God could even be speaking to you. There's a cost. If you're filling in your blanks, number two, you could write down, it can be costly and difficult. We know that when God speaks, a response is needed, but it can come at a price. You might have that friend that says, I want nothing to do with you. Now you're one of those Jesus people. Now you're one of those weirdos. You go to church instead of watching the football game, the early football game. Eventually, one of these weeks, by the way, I'll wear my jersey, but we'll wait on that for a little while. I want you to feel a little more comfortable with me before you want to throw me out, you know. Go Hawks. Obedience can be costly, difficult to do. You might be hearing the voice of God saying, go here, do this, change this behavior, change my language, my temper, befriend that person. Oh my goodness. I have trouble loving them. You want me to get involved with that, God? It could be all those things. It could be something completely different. Yes, the cost can be high to respond to God, and it may be so difficult that it takes you your entire life of trying to be faithful to what God has planned for you. Abram learns this right away. If you look right in chapter 12, let me read verse 1 for us. It says this, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Leave your homeland. leave all you know, move out of Pittsburgh. Hopefully he's not saying that to us. Leave the places where you know what to do and how to function in the world. Leave your friends. Leave your familiar foods and your potlucks and your routines. And leave your aging father in Haran. Are you still willing to follow God now? Leave the known for the unknown. And yet when God speaks to Abram, and actually he doesn't just speak to him, he commands him to do this. Go to the land I will show you. Would he have enough faith to trust that God had any clue of what he was doing? Thankfully, we don't need to think about that answer because we have the answer. Hebrews 11, 8, and verse 12, share that with us. In the New Testament, it says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he didn't know where he was going, and from this one man, and he as good as dead, because he was an old dude by that point, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. You all are here today because of that one guy, because he made that choice to listen and follow God. And you're here not just because of that one guy, but you're here because of that person in your life that first introduced you to the God who loves you, who desires to be in close relationship with you. The seat that you're sitting in now, you are seated, you're built on all those who have come before you. You're here because one person heard and responded to the voice of God, and he made a costly, difficult choice. And the same obedience that God required of Abram, it's the same for you and me. He requires that same level of obedience. Are we willing to really follow the leading of the Lord? It can be scary and difficult, but I always like the but. But there is good news. Faith will lead us to all that God promises. Remember, we said that's the only thing he's really looking from us, is a response of faith, and it is faith that will lead us to all that God promises. If you already have accepted Christ and you believe in him and follow him, then you're already living with the promises of God. Every promise that we read in Scripture, you are living under the authority of those promises. Salvation for your soul. The gift of eternal life. Freedom from whatever has kept you locked up or stuck in first gear. This is where the teacher in me, you're going to learn this about me. Sometimes I'm going to ask questions, and I'm going to give you an opportunity just to throw out some answers or some of your thoughts. So I want you to feel free. What are some of the other promises that God has said or revealed in his Bible that you have experienced in your life? Maybe just one or two or three. I will never leave you nor forsake you. One of my favorite ones. Other promises God has made. Provide for all of my needs. Maybe one more. What do you mean by that? Pain. He has promised that it will be difficult. He has promised he will always be with us. He will provide for our needs. But he has not said, I'm going to whisk you away from all pain and you're just going to live in happy bliss all the time. That's true. And you know it in your life. This is the promise God makes to Abram. Genesis 12:2. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And my favorite part, and you will be a blessing. You see, God reveals some of his path, some of his plan, but he doesn't give us all the details for the journey. How do we do that? Well, that's going to require a daily response from us. We know where we're going. We don't always know how to get there. He does the same for Abram. He says, this is what I'm promising you. I want you to go to the land I'm going to show you. This is what I promise for you, but I'm not going to exactly tell you everything. Some of that you're going to have to figure out by responding to me over and over again. Why do you think God did it that way? Anybody have any ideas? Wouldn't it have been so much easier if he had just given us like the step-by-step plan for how we're supposed to do this every single day? If we knew too much, we'd probably mess it up. Okay. I think that's probably true. Anyone else?
He wants us to respond regularly.
He wants us to respond regularly. Do you think that if we knew too much, we might start to do this? I got this. It's all about me. No, it's not all about us. Maybe that's part of his plan in having us kind of rely on him. That's why as the church, we will continue to pray. We will continue to seek God's direction. We will continue to ask for his guidance because we need help for the journey. Hello, my name is Steve, and I need help. I am a sinner, and so are you. In Galatians 3 in the New Testament, it says this, understand then that those who believe, that is, believe in Jesus Christ, are children of Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. If we're blessed along with Abram, then to be blessed is to thrive as a human being. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy. We're still going to have pain. We're still going to have heartache and disappointment. But we will live under that blessing of God. In the Bible, we see blessings in the gifts of long life, wealth, peace, good harvests, children, patience, kindness, goodness, and so many more. And the greatest blessing, the living, active presence of God in our life. God walking among his people, the only God who ever got down in the mud with us and said, I'm going to walk with you. Some would call it luck of the draw, but the Bible calls it blessing. God's word insists that he alone is the source of all goodness that we experience in life. And doesn't that sound amazing? Who doesn't want to experience goodness in their life all the time? Here's the catch. There's a final part that we can forget. Maybe that's why we only get part of the plan. And it's that God's blessing comes with responsibility. Our responsibility is to be a blessing to others. This would be number 4 if you're following along. To be a blessing to others. You see, everyone likes thinking about receiving God's blessing. Oh, I'm so blessed. My Facebook status update, I just feel blessed today. We like receiving blessing or feeling blessed or saying that we're blessed even if we're not. So everyone thinks we are. We like having things happen in our life that feel good. But as we continue to read, God doesn't just say you will be a blessing. He says, this is my command for you. If you want to follow me, this is my command and the consequence of being blessed. Yes, being blessed is great, but the consequence is that we must be a blessing. The second part of Genesis 12:2 and verse 3 says, "And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Let me ask you a question. Are all peoples on earth being blessed by God's people right now? If we only watched the news, we'd probably say, we are doing a woeful job. And it doesn't matter what other people are doing. We were talking before the service what they are doing or them. It matters what we are doing and what God's people are doing. We have this responsibility. Sometimes we work with our government. Sometimes we work in spite of our government. Sometimes we work with the church. Sometimes we work in spite of the church. But always to be a blessing to others. You may be the only person that is able to impact that one person in your life and be a source of blessing for them. Through you, they may see the light of Christ and they may say, oh, I want that. I want to experience what you experience. Gone are the days where we can assume that everyone has some kind of background in what God is doing. Who Jesus is, what the church is about. Those days are long over. All we can control is how God is moving in us and through us right now. When God says this to Abram, this is his expectation. It's not just a good idea or a suggestion that God makes to him. He says, this is what needs to happen. It's the natural result of all that God has done for you. If we receive all of these promises from God, including salvation, and then fail to be a blessing, you know what that is? Disobedience. What do we call that in the church? Sin. If we fail to live up to our responsibilities, we're good at it. This is a first step down a dangerous path. But on the flip side, I like buts. That came out wrong. I'll rewrite that the next time. On the flip side, though, seeking to be a blessing to others is an example of obedience. It's an example of us trying to be faithful. How can I bless you? You see people. How can I be a blessing to them this day? What blessings have you already experienced in your life that you just can't help but share with other people? It might be the gospel message, but it might be something more tangible too. It can be what God has placed in your path. I was talking with a gentleman last night at Ezra's birthday party who he just felt a sense from the Lord that he was supposed to tithe his last $30. And this was the $30 that was his grocery money. His wife wasn't happy about it. And this was a hard choice for him, but he did it anyways. Maybe that caused a little tension in their marriage. And yet the very next day, God made a way, and there was leftover food through another ministry. And he was able to partake of that and actually started a food bank program and felt called like that was part of the ministry that God was calling him to do. And he started making connections with various places around the Pittsburgh area and the East Bay. And suddenly there was all this food from his $30 that he originally gave. It wasn't really anything to do with the amount of the gift, but it was his faith response that I believe God was blessing. And this was just one story that some random guy started to tell me last night. Because of the faith that Abram showed, the Bible declares that all the nations of the world have the opportunity to be blessed. They may be people in places close to us and far away. They may be far from the Lord or close, but they have the opportunity to be blessed through God's people. The only response the Lord needs is enough faith to follow his leading in your life. I'm so glad that we get to come to the table this morning. I don't know what reason you are specifically here this morning. But I do know this, God has brought you here. His Spirit has been at work in your life and your heart to bring you here today. You might have various feelings about what's going on in your life, in your family, in our country, in this world, and yet when we come to the table, all are one in Christ. On October 1st, this is the Sunday of the year where churches around the world celebrate World Communion Sunday. This is the Sunday where we join with fellow Christians, most of whom by this time in the day have already been to the table. So we get to kind of wrap up the end of the world by coming to the table this morning. Imagine for just a moment coming to that one table in heaven, all of us together, past, present, and future, receiving everything from the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of you are hopeful and excited for what's happening in your life. Some of you are anxious or fearful of the week ahead. Some of you have those same thoughts about our church. Maybe you have a little bit of everything going on in your life today. The Word of God, however, promises that as you listen and respond in faith, you will be traveling the path that he has prepared for you and for me and for we. Because of this, I trust that the Holy Spirit is guiding you. Because of this, I trust that the Holy Spirit is guiding this church. And because of this, I trust that he will continue to guide us in the days to come. I want to leave you with two questions this morning. What is God speaking to you or us today? What step is God asking you, prompting you to make or take today? I don't know what that is for you. But I promise you that as you move on the path God has already prepared, let me urge you, my brothers and sisters, to do whatever it takes. If that means that I need to be more patient, Lord, help me to be more patient with my spouse, with my kids, with my family, with my coworkers, with that boss that annoys me, everything. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be faithful. I'm going to close with a verse from Galatians 3. We walk this path not alone. We know we have the living, active presence of God with us. And that comes through the person of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:14 says that Christ redeemed us. That means he bought and paid for our life. All the mistakes that we've made, he paid the price on the cross for us. He sacrificed himself in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's you and me, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. This is perhaps God's greatest promise that we get to experience every single day, the living, active presence of God himself. Through the Spirit. This is what assures you that you can do this, that we can do this. Continue to live and walk by faith, my brothers and sisters. Listen and respond to God's voice in your life. If you're having trouble doing that, come talk to me. I'm not an expert, but I will certainly work with you and walk with you on your journey of faith. And through you, God will continue the good work that he has started in each one of us. His work to bless and save and redeem this amazing world. We think the world is a bunch of junk most of the time. And yet God created this world. He loves this world, and he loves you and me. We get to play a part in that. And I think that that is a path that is worth giving everything up for. The path of eternal life. We're going to come to the table in just a moment, but I want to pray for you this morning as we prepare our hearts. Father, I thank you for this group of people. I thank you that you have led each one on the journey, the path that you have prepared. And now will you be at work in our hearts? Will you prompt a word, a direction, a next step for each one here today? God, as we are fed through your body and your blood this morning, will you help us to follow you? Will you give us faith enough to respond to you? And will you never leave or forsake us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, as therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so live in him. Go forth in his name to love him and one another. Be a blessing to this great world we live in. In the name of Jesus, amen.